You're listening to Current State on WKAR. Next month marks a milestone anniversary of one of the most horrific events in modern history. On the nights of November 9th and 10th, 1938, Nazi soldiers ransacked Jewish homes, synagogues, and hospitals across Germany and parts of Austria. The event 75 years ago came to be known as Kristallnacht, the Night of Broken Glass. Historians widely view it as the beginning of the Holocaust. This week, students at Eaton Rapids High School are studying that awful chapter of world history. They've created their own Holocaust memorial for the public to tour. Current State's Kevin Lavery reports.
For the past 3 years, Tracy Collins has given her senior English class at Eaton Rapids High School a lesson in the humanities. Specifically, the humanity of one man, Nobel Peace Laureate Elie Wiesel. They begin each fall semester immersed in his harrowing tale of survival in a Nazi concentration camp. You can feel the fear in Wiesel's chilling memoir, Night.
And the students start out by reading the book. And about 3 years ago, we also visited the Holocaust Museum in Farmington Hills. And we've done that every year since. And one of the teachers who is involved in the project, Mr. Whitmire, in passing said, wouldn't that be really cool if we could make our own museum? And we kind of laughed it off and said, okay, well, we'll try it and see what we get out of it. And we were amazed with the result.
How much knowledge of the Holocaust does your average student here at Eaton Rapids High School have before they take part in this project?
They know a little bit because they cover it in middle school and they've had U.S. history by the time that we get them. When I start the unit, I always start out with, all right, what do you already know? And some have seen Schindler's List. They've all seen The Boy in the Striped Pajamas. They've seen different movies. They've heard different things. They know facts about Hitler. But they don't really understand what really happened. And when they start reading the book, it's interesting because it's such a short 100-page book. And they whip through it very quickly. And the discussions that we have, I think they begin to understand what actually happened and what these people went through instead of just putting a name on it, the Holocaust, or numbers, 6 million people died, and they get one person's story, and it's very impressive.
In a narrow hallway, a string of footprints on the floor symbolizes the death marches Jewish prisoners were forced to make. Jenna Beamer's group worked on this display.
We did the feet on the ground, you can see them here, and then we have a poster down there.
Well, I'd love to see that. Can we walk and talk and you can show me what's in your display?
Yeah. So the feet on the ground represent 1 foot equals 30 miles. And we have 15 feet, so it adds up to about like 400 some odd miles. And it's the distance from Auschwitz to Buchenwald, which they did in fact walk from Auschwitz to this other camp called Buchenwald.
And we are now coming upon that poster you talked about. This looks like a political border map of something. I'm assuming this is Poland or parts of Poland?
This map is actually the outline of Greater Germany. Which,
of course, in World War II, Poland was essentially an annexation of Germany.
Yeah, it was.
So there's Auschwitz there and Dachau and Buchenwald. Mm-hmm. Yet there's also some other ones. I'm having difficulty pronouncing some of these. I'm not even going to attempt to. But the idea is that there were many, many camps, not just the main ones people think about.
Yeah, there are a lot of sub-camps that a lot of people don't know about. Like, I had never really heard of Gross-Rosen or Mauthausen. Never really even heard about Flossenbürg either. But after doing this project, I learned about a lot of sub-camps that I hadn't known about before.
Jenna, what does it mean to you as you're putting all this together and you're doing the research and you're probably seeing films about this? What are you feeling when you put this all together and you see this coming together?
It's definitely heartbreaking to know that there were people out there that actually went through this and people that conducted this kind of stuff. It's a lot to take in, definitely, but I think it gives us a lot to learn about, like responsibilities towards other people.
Just outside, Thomas Bell explains the strikingly realistic replica he and a friend spent a month to build. How did you come upon the idea to build a concentration camp-style cattle car?
We decided to start building one to do something a little different from last year's. And we decided to do something a little overboard that no one's done before, just to get something else for people to look at when they come in.
This looks like it used to be a hay wagon. You've got some rusty hinges on here and some old faded planks of wood. You've got some chicken wire here at the top. It's pretty realistic, if you ask me.
Yeah, we tried to make it look, close. We couldn't do it exactly, but we tried to make it, you know, kind of close to what the other ones looked like with the discolored boards and the old barn door on the front. So.
And what do you want me as your visitor to your school to see and feel about what you've done?
I guess just see kind of the build of them and how small of an area, and they packed so many people inside of them, and kind of think about what they had to go through during the time they had to be in the train cars and being transported to the concentration camps.
The image of the crowded cattle car is a potent one for Adam Parker, who's done his share of Holocaust research.
They would pack them really to the point where there was no movement. You couldn't move. It was usually about 100 people per car. It's like a regular cattle car, so they really stuffed them. And they would move, you know, days on end without stopping. There was usually small openings for air, and they'd have a bucket in there for your waste, human waste. And it was really horrible conditions.
Many people suffocated or were crushed to death even before they got to a concentration camp.
That is true. It's been documented even in like the book Night by Elie Wiesel. He talks about how he saw that firsthand in one of his accounts.
What do you want people in the community who come to see your display to come away with? What's the takeaway you're hoping will resonate with them?
Me personally, I hope that when they come and they go through this and they leave, I hope it leaves a part in them that says that we can never have anything like this happen again. This is, you know, it's unexcusable.
The Eaton Rapids High School Holocaust Memorial will be on public display this afternoon from 4 o'clock until 7:30. Holocaust survivor Jeanette Olson will speak and sign her book tonight at the high school. For Current State, I'm Kevin Lavery.